teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Chuck Wolbers, your Education Matters host, and today we'll be talking about the KUSD Athletic Facilities Referendum. My guest today is Steve Connect. He's the athletic director of Kenosha Unified School District in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and he has graciously agreed to navigate the exciting features of this energetic community investment by cleverly guiding us through a PowerPoint series which he has presented a number of locations in the throughout the community to groups interested in learning more about the pros and cons of this project. So as opposed to braving subpolar temperatures to attend a meeting, allow him to creatively weave images for you in this format as you listen in the comfort of your favorite listening space. First, I'd like to begin by allowing Steve to describe his professional education background and his past experiences in education and athletics and those kind of activities that got him to this point.
Well, thanks, Chuck. Thanks for having me this morning. Education... It's always been a part of my life. My mom and dad were educators, and as I moved on through life, I decided somewhere in the middle of college that maybe that'd be a good idea to follow my parents' footsteps and became a physical education teacher, and have been a physical education teacher since. I consider myself still a physical education teacher,
sure,
even though that
sure.
isn't my role right now. Came up here to Kenosha in the early 90s and graduated from Carthage College.
Okay.
I was originally from Illinois and played basketball, and basketball opened up doors for me, and one of the doors was Carthage College, and played there for 4 years and then became a physical education major along with an athletic training major, and did some student teaching here in Kenosha in 1997. And then I had a person that retired halfway through the year, and I just fell into that spot, and the rest is history. Started my job at Grant and Harvey Elementary here in wow. town. Then I went and was hired that next fall, which would have been the fall of 97, and hired at McKinley Junior High,
sure,
which then became McKinley Middle School as I was there. I was there for 3 years and moved on.
It's kind of when that whole junior high to middle school transition took place nationwide.
Pretty much, yeah. I believe it was within that 6 to 8 year period.
Yep.
Yeah, I really liked that junior high too with the ninth graders.
Sure.
Not that I didn't like the sixth graders, but I thought we had a nice group of kids, and it worked out well. But from there, I ended up moving on to Bradford High School, where I taught physical education, and then after a year became a FIED teacher and athletic director at Bradford.
Okay.
And that role changed after about 7 years. I was slowly making more and more athletic director work and then less and less FIED work. And
sure.
then in 2007, I became assistant principal in charge of facilities and athletics at Bradford High School. I was there till 2011 doing that role, and then in 2011 when Scott Lindgren retired after many, many years in Kenosha Unified,
sure.
I took over his spot at downtown at the central office.
Wow, he was, in fact, I think he was a, if I'm not mistaken, he was a Bradford track athlete.
Yeah, state champ in 1965, wow. Not to date him. But,
sure, sure. well, I'm sure he doesn't mind. He keeps himself in good shape.
That's right.
I've mentioned on the show I'm a former PE guy myself, so it really does not get out of your system. I know how you feel in that respect. But just to go on a little bit further before I ask another question, you had mentioned the athletic training and athletic director. Did you do any athletic training along the way, or was just something that you kind of – I know in my own curriculum, care and prevention of athletic injuries and tear and tape was a big thing, and those kind of things go along with the major oftentimes.
Yeah, I was a full major in sports medicine and did all my hours and everything, and did everything but the test because I happened to get a job in FIED right away,
okay.
and that was paying as well, if not better, than athletic training at the time.
Sure,
but I was I worked my way my senior to be the was the head trainer, the head student trainer, I should say,
sure.
For football and baseball at Carthage.
Well, we have a number of different people that serve in athletic directorships throughout the district, So as to not confuse people or allow people to think, well, all you got to do is be a PE teacher and then you can take over an athletic program, that's not necessarily the case.
No, you have to have, well, one, you have to have interest in the administration of athletics.
Absolutely.
And I have my degree, my principal's license, in other words, an administrator. So before I became a principal, I did not have that. And I'd have athletic directors in each of the high schools and the middle schools, and their role, they do a ton of stuff for the district and for me, really. I would say primarily they're the liaison between administration and the coaches and the students. They're the go-to person in the building, and I take care of the administrative parts of it. So,
okay.
In other words, they help me with game management.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I would say, is their number one role of it all. But as far as dollars and transportation and hiring of officials to coaches, that buck stops at my desk and the principal's desk when it comes to
that. But before
that,
they keep a lot of the wolves at bay.
A lot of people have questions out there.
Sure.
A lot of students have questions, and they're the primary compliance people. They check eligibility. They check physicals in, the risk of injuries, that type of stuff. The amount of students we have, it would be, I wouldn't say impossible, but it would be very, very challenging.
It's a monumental task. This is a large urban area,
sure.
And it has its own unique challenges. Is there a DPI licensure then for athletic directors? I think I got the impression there was
not for DPI. DPI,
okay.
It depends from district to district. Here, as a coordinator of athletics and Phi Ed and health and recreation, which I am, it was required I had an administrative license.
Okay, so it's the administrative licensure.
Yep, the principal's license. Other districts, a lot of the smaller districts do a teacher's license.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what the philosophy is. It's really all over the board, and it really also depends on the size of the district and how much responsibility that would come under that.
Fairly to be stated, then, it's really what the local culture feels they can support.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, how long have the referendum plans and preparations been in progress for this very, very intriguing project? And I'll let you get started with that, answer that question, and then go into your the PowerPoint and the presentation you're so familiar with that can certainly guide the rest of the show.
You know, that's a funny question we've been asked a lot. And I would tell you that some people in this community would tell you that these plans have been in place since 1979, because in 1979, I believe, is the last referendum that was was a referendum passed that brought Bradford High School into the old Parkside building, which is the Bradford High School we know now from Reuther.
Okay.
And in those original plans, when they opened up in 80, they were supposed to have a stadium, a track and football field.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's supposed to be very similar to what we know as Amici right now, and then that would have been Anderson. But it didn't happen. It was cut. I wasn't here then. In fact, I was about 6 years old when that all happened. But when that happened, some reason it got cut. And I don't know if they ran out of money with the project or they miscalculated, but it was not there. And so it was promised at the time by that school board, you know, it would be coming. And here we are in 2015, and it's not here.
Holding them accountable and making it true.
Sure, exactly. And then when we had, when I got my, I think I didn't go into it for a week as an AD, in 2000, 2001, parents were telling me, you know, what are we going to do about a football field? And we had a nice Band-Aid at the time. We had a nice agreement, a nice partnership with Carthage College. And we had I don't remember what the agreement was because I didn't make it because it happened before my time. But basically it ran out in 2005 or 6 because it was a 10-year agreement.
Uh-huh.
And truthfully, we still have a great relationship with Carthage. But Carthage has gotten much busier, and they
mm-hmm.
have more sports, and
mm-hmm.
they don't have as much time. And they have built beautiful facilities, and they've priced us out of it a little bit. But I think that that makes sense because in some ways I think it's good because they don't have enough time for their own sports on their own fields. And for us to kick them off without a nice price, then what's the point?
Yep.
And so, yes, that's been going on. And then, as you know, this really started very early on the north side with the Bradford people wanting to have a field. And so that's, I would say, so 2000 I started hearing about it. Then the football team really became very good.
Sure.
None of those football players started running track and became track members, and they started getting very good. And that would be about, I would say, the 2007 to obviously through 2011, and when they won the state championship in 2011. And people were saying, now can we get a field? You know, we have a good team. And, you know.
It's almost like they're feeling, well, what's it going to take?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so. Looking at it, we had other needs in the district, and we were given in, I don't remember the year, but I want to tell you it was probably around 2009 or 10. We asked, what are we going to do? Can we fundraise for this? And we were given permission, but we said, where are we going to put it? And the school district has 13 acres of unused land on the Bullen property that they had kind of just kept there and at one time thought possibly a elementary school site. And that has not entered any of the long-term plans, so I went to the board and we asked to have that be designated for possible site for stadium. And that was given to us because there's plenty of other sites that of land that Kenosha owns in the district still to build elementaries if needed ever. It's given to us, the fundraising effort's pretty tough for public education. You also have to know the right people, and we don't have that. At least we didn't have that in our wheelhouse at the time. And so other than the penny drives for a large multi-million dollar project,
right.
It's tough. And
cookie sale isn't going to get
it. It's not going to do it. Cookie dough will not answer the questions for us.
Although it works for me. But
Sure. So that's where we really decided, there's no time if we can have a referendum and do this, because at the time we had needs for a high school and Indian Trail came. And,
right.
And it's been the philosophy, and I'll touch on that a little bit more in the presentation. It's been the philosophy of this district to make sure that we do it responsibly and not add to taxes for capital outlay until we have debt retiring. And so therefore we have debt retiring coming up in 2016, and so we've gone to this referendum to ask to start to replace that debt with new debt and actually less debt than the debt that we are retiring
and previously managed or incurred.
Yep.
right
exactly.
That's innovative. Now, in having said that, is Kenosha similar to other communities experiencing these kind of initiatives and managing them in this way, or are we setting a local or even a regional precedent, or do other people?
I think other people do it. I think responsible people, responsible administration does it. Kenosha has been doing it ever since Pat Finnemore came here and really focused on that and started scheduling and doing his long term. Pat Finnemore is the director of facilities
and engineering.
And
right,
engineering,
right, yeah.
Yes. And the very first one that he passed was just that, and every referendum we've gone to and succeeded on has been retiring debt.
He's been a very influential and important personality in terms of moving the district forward in terms of the infrastructure and brick and mortar, if you want to call it that. But before you go into the presentation, we've been talking about the referendum and made reference to the Bradford Challenge and the idea of a stadium and so forth. The referendum has been presented, as you talk about your presentation, on all three comprehensive high school campuses, so that there are pieces, as I understand it, of the referendum that affect each campus.
Absolutely. The south side of Kenosha, Amici Field, has got a bleacher system that is absolutely, I feel, scary. And unsafe. It's the old style, and that community has also spoken. It's got the slats in between the seat and the foot that's large enough for a average sized person to get through, let alone fall through. Mm-hmm. And then you have children, and we've had that happen before. We've had children fall through these gaps in the bleachers to the ground, and we've been lucky that they haven't been severely injured.
So some of the investments, some of the improvements are safety-focused.
Absolutely.
Not simply just for the sake of appearance.
Arguably, the largest liability in southeast Wisconsin is Kenosha Unified's liability for that Amici Field, because it's to the point where it's not safe. Welds, we have to re-weld it every single year, spend a whole day or two re-welding, probably 2,500 different little areas, and there's only so much you can re-weld, and we're okay, and we're okay because, We're grandfathered in. We're not up to code, but we're grandfathered in if it was built beforehand.
Because it was built at a certain period.
And you can't just
start. I remember having this conversation with you once before. Absolutely. We were looking at some access for people who are in wheelchairs to actually have a dedicated place to sit while they're in that stadium. And you made the point very, very well that we're kind of stuck in a situation with what we got.
If we start improving it, we have to bring the entire place up to code.
Correct.
So we can only fix what is currently there so it's safe.
And this referendum will allow that.
This referendum will not only allow that, it'll make it as safe as any other high school has, and it'd be better for our community.
And as safe as the future Bradford Stadium.
Yes. You know what? They'd be very much they're not exactly cookie-cutter from each other because of the land there. We only have certain space, and so entry points and where we would put team buildings and such would be in a little bit different locations. But, yes, they'd be very, very similar. Our goal when we started this whole process was to have all three high school athletics as close to as possible as equal for our kids in this community. And we knew that this was going to happen, and there would be other stuff that will probably wanted across the district when we built Indian Trail. Indian Trail is probably I think it's the most beautiful high school maybe in Wisconsin.
Sure.
And it's definitely got it's got to be talked about it as one of the best high school furnishings in the entire state of Wisconsin. And so when two-thirds your community doesn't go to that school but sees it, they say, well, what about us?
Sure.
And that's exactly what's happened over at Bradford and over at Tremper in those communities. And I agree. You know, I think I think this is a nice chance to do something great for our community and for our students in the district.
Well, you'll probably address this, and I'm going to let the presentation get started, so to speak, because we do have to run on time. Things do get time sensitive. Could people of the community expect that the referendum and what will end up in different stadiums and athletic facilities look more like Indian Trail as the template, or is Bradford going to be the template, and then Tremper kind of and Anderson, Amici, and so forth copy off of that? Almost ironically, because as you were saying earlier, at one point Bradford was going to be built on the basis that it would look like what is now Amici.
Correct. These are both very much built on the template of Jasquich Field over at Indian Trail. In fact, I would tell you that if this passes and we build this, you would stand and on the bleachers at either Tremper or Bradford and look just at the bleachers, you would think you would be at Jasquich. That same system with storage underneath, and it just the needs that are very functional for an athletic program and for a district.
Great. Well, let's get started with that presentation. That way, the public certainly can be kept informed, and depending on time and so forth, we'll have a few follow-up questions and anything else to clarify, and wrap up the show, and certainly grateful for your time. But without any further ado, let's get that presentation started.
Well, the presentation will be my first time doing this presentation without any visual aid, so I will try to paint the picture as best as I can. But first of all, it's the what. What are we going to be asking the voters to vote for? And I'll start on my presentation starts over at actually the Bradford property and campus. On that Bradford property and campus, you would know if you were to drive down 39th Avenue, you would see a tennis courts and a softball field and two practice soccer fields along 39th Avenue there. That would then become where we would put the stadium. Originally, we were thinking possibly across 39th in there, but our sports advisory committee decided they wanted that stadium on campus. A lot of traffic of people walking and keeping that right there. So we would put that right along that 39th Avenue, and we would redo the parking lot at Bradford High School. It's the worst parking lot in the entire KUSD. It's been patched and poked and prodded probably hundreds of times. That stadium would feature a home and away stands with press box, storage underneath the home bleacher facility. It would also feature a nine-lane track. This is where it's going to be a little bit different, where Bradford and Tremper would be a little bit different than Jasquich, which we would do a nine-lane track because it would be new construction, and the difference wouldn't be that much more because it's new construction. And in order to host a sectional or a regional for the WIAA, you need to have a nine-lane track.
At least,
eight are running, and one is one is a warm-up or a jog lane. Mm-hmm. And so we'd have a nine-lane track there, complete with the shot put, discus. Actually, we'd even put in pole vault because you'd have to have that, even though we don't do pole vault currently in Kenosha. We would definitely put it in. Mm-hmm. And then along that is public restrooms and team rooms, a concession stand, ticket booth, that mm-hmm. type of spot. And then also on campus, we have Wavero Field, which is a baseball, varsity baseball field. And that one's been renovated and looks great. We have a nice press box there. Doesn't have bleachers. We'd add bleachers. In fact, we'd add bleachers, and they'd be the exact same bleachers at every varsity baseball field and every varsity softball field. So six total fields here. And it'd be, you know, what you get at a baseball game. It's probably like that around that 250 mark, you know.
Sure.
So otherwise, if you don't have a lawn chair, you're standing and watching your kids playing.
Right.
Most of these districts have stands, and we have some temporary things that sit about 25 to 30 people, and and it just we're beyond that. And in each of the varsity baseball and varsity softball fields in Kenosha, at Indian Trail and Tremper and Bradford, we would add synthetic turf surface just for the infields. A couple reasons for that. One, it's a growing trend, and we would be on the front end of that growing trend, and but the people in the Midwest don't see the weather that we like to see probably for these sports in the spring. A lot of rain, a lot of, you know, sometimes still snow. I mean, this year is going to be interesting right now.
Yes,
those synthetic surfaces dry quicker because they warm up quicker, and mm-hmm. so therefore they evaporate. You have a nice drainage system underneath there, and so they open up, mm-hmm. and therefore, one, you can get on your fields quicker in the spring, and you can practice at least on the infield. And two, we have a lot of days where it rains. It rains all weekend, or it rains all day, and we can't play because it's just full of mud. And
right.
This would be a system where it could rain all the way until 1 or 1:30 in the afternoon, and we could play at 3 because it's that good. And what I'm thinking, and what Pat Finnemore thinks, is it'd be similar to what happened at Amici. We were, I believe, the fifth synthetic football surface in the state of Wisconsin. And now there's about 75, and we think after this summer it's going to be over 100. And these baseball fields are starting to pop up everywhere.
Okay.
And softball, we would be, I think, only the second or third. Baseball, we'd probably be in the first two dozen that's gone up in this area, and I would say area just because just south of the border sometimes I think that's kind of our area
as well.
So you're
talking regionally again.
Yeah.
Kenosha still taking the lead in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think I like to think we are.
Absolutely.
So that's what would happen on the actual campus. Now, across the street at Bullen Middle School, because we took out that softball and because we took out the tennis courts, we got to relocate them.
Mm-hmm.
And we also took out two practice fields, so we had to relocate those. Across the street, there's a large green space right now that's where most of the land is that's really technically not used.
There's a big drainage area there also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that would be just a little bit to the south of this.
Okay, and so that won't be a swimming pool.
No, absolutely not. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do fishing derbies either. But we would put in three practice fields in that area.
Sure.
And that would be shared by Bradford and Bullen.
Oh, so that will get filled in?
No. Where the green space is, there's there's a building right there. I think it's the Union. It would be just north of that, in between that building and Bullen.
Yep.
There'd be three practice fields there, and then we take out that stadium and those current two softball fields there to reconfigure and fit everything in. And where the stadium is, we would put a clover. And that clover would be, when I say a clover, it's four fields surrounded. And it would be two softball fields, a varsity and a JV mm-hmm. softball field. And that's where the varsity softball field would have that synthetic infield.
Wow.
And then a JV baseball field. We have three baseball teams at each one of our schools. And this would give us second place for them to practice. And then we would put the tennis courts over there. Tennis courts would be in a perfect spot. There would be eight tennis courts where we would have the bleachers in the middle. It's a new style so people can spectate better.
Wow.
And it's nice because there's a tree line there.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the Bradford tennis courts are at the highest point of Bradford, and it's pretty windy. And it should be stated, too, that at Tremper and at Bradford, those tennis courts have never been redone. They've been resurfaced. Mm-hmm. But I like to talk, the asphalt underneath is at least 35 years old, and the expansion cracks have gotten so large, almost a full tennis ball fits in it, which is not prime for tennis. And I've had coaches from other schools complain about kids worrying about getting hurt when they're stepping wrong.
Sure.
So we, no matter what, have to redo our tennis courts.
Going forward, that's
absolutely
a done deal. This is WGTD and Education Matters. Today we're talking about the KUSD Athletic Facilities Referendum with our guest Steve Knecht, who is the athletic director for the Kenosha Unified School District in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's in the middle of a presentation now that he started talking about and has been presenting throughout the community about the athletic facility referendum that's upcoming. And I'm going to let him continue as we do this re-intro here. And it's been a very, very interesting conversation and informative program so far.
Thanks. Yeah, I just finished up on Bradford. And what I'll do is I'll take a south now. We'll go to Tremper. Tremper's campus is... I wouldn't say is getting the reconstruction as much as Bradford, because we had to move a lot of stuff. Right now, we're going to take where they have stuff because we have fields in the right spots there. Mm-hmm. We just need to rehab them.
So it's a facelift.
It's a facelift and a complete do-over. Amici Field right now would, I use the term, I don't know if it's scientifically correct, but I use a term, it would get mowed down. It would just get completely...
that is the scientific term.
Is it? Thank you. Thank you for making that official, at least to Phi Ed teachers.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That's good. And it would come down. Those bleachers would come down. That press box would come down. That press box, I don't like that press box. I don't go in it much anymore because a nice stiff wind, you almost can get motion sickness up there. That would come down. The visiting bleachers would come down, and we would put in those bleacher systems just like Jasquitch. Mm-hmm. We redo the synthetic turf, and then we would put a 9-lane track around that turf. So we would have to move the bleachers forward and backwards a little bit just to fit on that land correctly.
So will the turf be recycled somewhere, or taking that up?
It's recycled to the company we basically go with, and there's hundreds of them out there.
And I don't think a lot of people would have realized that.
Yeah, we do
so
that.
It's actually a sustainable and environmentally responsible project.
Yes, what they do with it, I don't know, but there is a recycle... Mm-hmm. Part of that synthetic.
Basically, could be buying some of it back to resurface the field with.
Could be. I doubt it. I would tell you that probably somebody else will eventually, if that's how they do it. I don't know that process, to tell you the truth.
Better sell pieces as a fundraiser to build a new stadium.
Yeah, right, yeah. Blades of grass at a time. And so yes, it would have the turf, and it would have the track, and then it would have what we would do right now. There is a public restroom on the north end of that is, I don't mean to upset the city, but it's in pretty rough shape. And it's always in rough shape, and it's the biggest complaint we hear from adults, not only from our own adults, but visiting adults. And a lot of times there's only one or two toilets at work.
And
we would basically give that back to the city, and we would put in our public restrooms underneath the home stands, and along with concessions and some storage.
Would there be something similar for the visitors on their side?
Absolutely. Okay. It'd be smaller.
Sure.
But they would also be able to come back to
our
side.
Oh, we want to have a home field advantage.
Exactly. And many districts also have that just on their home side because of the crowds that come to home games versus the travelers. But on the other side, we would also build a team building, because right now our teams have to go into the Anderson Pool locker rooms.
Right.
And the city wants to shut that down on Labor Day, and that's the start of our seasons.
Sure.
And they're good to work with, but they
– it's an awkward conflict.
It is, and it's a little bit further away, and so we'd like to have a team building there similar to that of at Jaskiewicz and what would be then at Bradford, where it would be two team rooms and then a referee room. And then that's over there. We would have a small public restroom and a small concession stand that would double in use for the spring, because right next to it is the softball field for Tremper, and we'd be able to we would design it so that it would be kind of a dual use there.
Oh boy, that's
awful. We would then, right next to then Amici Field and then Anderson Park, we have that softball field, which is just east of Amici Field, and we would put the synthetic turf in there for the infield. We'd also put up a press box and stands, a small press box, so they can be managed like a varsity sport.
Wow.
And then across the way, right on Tremper's campus, which is just south of the school, we would put in a synthetic turf on the baseball field, which is Andy Smith Field now. Mm-hmm. And along there, as well as a press box and stands. For that crew. And that press box would be also right next to the new tennis courts, which is tennis courts are just west of the school. That tennis courts, currently Tremper is one of the few schools in the state that have that was built with only six courts that hasn't been updated to eight courts. And the reason why that's important is a varsity match consists of seven teams, four singles and three doubles. Mm-hmm. And so you need to get them all out there at the same time because what we do battle is Mother Nature. And sure. Mother Nature gets dark, mm-hmm. especially in the fall. And so our girls' matches, first of all, any match at Tremper goes longer than any other match mostly in the state. Most people have 8 to 12 now.
Okay.
Eight's probably the most common of them all. And so it's a little bit later, and our girls, you know, lose game time due to darkness.
The sun, yep.
And then there's a current track over at Tremper, which is on the southwest corner of their property.
Yeah, the practice field.
And it's really bad. We would take it out. It's in real bad shape. I would have a picture for our crowd, and I'll talk about it a little bit more later. It's so bad, I don't even like it when I see people walking on it because I'm afraid people are going to trip mm-hmm. or scuff themselves. And so we would then take that out. And to get room for those tennis courts, we'd move that practice field a little bit south.
Okay.
We're talking yards, not major, but it would be a nice fit there. And that's the rehab over at Tremper.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Indian Trail, and they're going to get a little bit of the of a touch-up on there too. And we're very hesitant for a long time. Pat Finnemore was very hesitant and about doing anything here because we just did a $50 million referendum. And why didn't we do these things when this happened? And so we're doing very minimal here. But the two things that our sports advisory committee was insistent on, if we're doing this to keep things fair across, we can't put in synthetic turf on two baseball fields and two softball fields and the other two and not do it here. At Indian Trail. So we would do it here. And why people ask us, why didn't we do this originally when we built this school? Well,
hindsight's always 2020.
It's always 2020. And when this was designed and when we started building this, there was no infield synthetic turf anywhere in the state.
Okay.
And we didn't do it. And then 4 months to go before we opened up Indian Trail, Sun Prairie put one in. And since then, it's been the use between colleges and Whitewater has one now, and Carthage has one now, and Whitefish Bay and Bing, Bang, Boom, Stevens Point's got one now, and it's just starting to fall in, sure. And people are using it, and people are going to these fields because, hey, they can play on these fields. And so we see definitely that need here, and so that's what we did. And we also didn't put bleachers in because the other schools didn't have bleachers originally, so we'd add that little bleacher system for each one of them with about the 250 seats as well. And then over at the track, we would resurface the track as part of this project. That has to get done no matter what. People think that we built that track with Indian Trail. That's incorrect. We built that with Mahone Middle School in 2002. And tracks last...
It's just south of Mahone.
Yes, yes. And tracks last about 7 to 10 years is what the manufacturers will tell you. We think schools get closer to 10 to 15 years. So in 2002, mm-hmm. if this passes, it'll be 2016, and it's time. We start seeing asphalt. There's a rubber surface over the asphalt, mm-hmm. and that rubber surface has been worn through in some areas, and it's getting each year more and more evident of that. And so it's time. It's time to, mm-hmm. to resurface that. So that's what would happen.
And that, again, is a safety thing.
Absolutely, and a competitive thing. Cost of the project, total cost of this project ends up being $16,700,000, with a majority, about a little over $9 million going to Bradford, a little over $6 million going towards the Tremper project, and then close to between $600,000 and $700,000 at that Indian Trail project.
And if I put down a little note here while I was listening, sometimes we do react to what we hear and no battle plan survives the first shot, it seems. but the time to completion, people might want to know from the time first shovel goes in and till the time we're ready to cut the ribbon and it's done.
Sure. Yeah, that's I got that actually here in the presentation. It's going to – we would not be retiring debt, and so we would not start this until the spring of 2016. The rest of this 2015 would be used for design and planning and hiring, bidding out all the work. And
okay.
then we would start in 2016, and about two-thirds of that would be done in 2016.
Wow.
And about one-third of it done in 2017. Main reason in my world is because I still need to have fields for us to be able to participate in games.
You still have to have
competitive
services,
so we can't just
right.
do it all at one school. And so we would have to develop a timeline and a plan of how that would look.
And see how it's going to be phased.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not like – you start on one day at all three campuses,
no,
obviously.
No, because you
okay.
need to be able to be functioning.
Sure.
And so we get done over that time. We can't – we don't retire our debt until 2016. And July 1st week is when we can start borrowing again. And so
okay.
therefore – and I'll explain that debt retirement here in a second. And that's why we'd be waiting for that time. And it takes a while to plan. We have to get everything passed. The reason why we're doing this, and we've talked about this a lot, but one thing I didn't touch on, you know, 70% of our athletes here in the high schools are outdoor sports athletes. And we don't provide them what I think is, and what the sports advisory committee and our coaches think is the best place to practice and play.
Mm-hmm.
And so we share a lot of facilities. Some people think it's crazy that Mark Osloxen has been coaching at Bradford for almost 45 years and has never had a track to practice on.
Wow.
And let alone compete on. And so with 70% of our athletes being outdoor sports athletes, I mean, this would get used, and this is what we would need to use. Currently, we do a really good job here as coaches, and I feel as my administrative office and the ADs in our buildings of managing and providing ample time for all contests to get done. However, everybody likes to practice where they play.
Mm-hmm.
And in a random week, I took Amici and Jaskiewicz, and each one of those only had one day in which all the teams could have gone and practiced on, because there's competitions four or
wow.
5 days a week and taking up that time. You compare that to Westosha during the same week, and they had one contest that week, and they were able to use their best facilities for their
sure.
kids to practice on.
So it's almost inversely proportional in a way, and that's
right. It's,
wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That one becomes very, very big.
Yes, it does. And then we talked about that track. Is this not? We can't run on it over at Tremper. It's bubbled up. It's fallen apart. Our baseball. I have a picture here of our softball fields on the day one of practice, which I think also. Looked like it on day 15 of practice, and there are seagulls waiting in the water that's on top. If we had that synthetic surface, it would be able to drain
sure.
Quicker and evaporate the water quicker. We talked about Amici and the safety factor there. The bleachers are just the gaps there are so large, you'd be able to, instead of being 2 to 3 feet in gaps where people could fall through, I believe the code has it, no gap larger than 2 inches anymore.
Wow.
So, as you can see. The ballot language, we've worked on this. One of my pet peeves is when I go to vote for something, I have to think about yes means no or no means yes. And
yeah.
and so we worded the language that a yes vote would pass this, a no vote would be that
right,
you're
so
against this.
We're not worried
this.
About double negative.
No, we're not.
And triple. And
we've had those before.
Yeah. You know how frustrating that is.
It is.
And this is very thoughtful in that respect. And I think it shows respect to the community to really present this in a user-friendly fashion. As a result, I have a question here. Is the community able to help, and in what way? This project and the conversation has been going on for quite a while. Do you have a sense of how the community is responding?
Yeah. First of all, can they help? They have helped. They have come out and they've stepped up. We've listened to many community members over time.
Right, this is a big collaborative.
This is. We've had over 45 people be there on the Sports Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the subcommittees, which we had a subcommittee at Indian Trail, subcommittee at Bradford, and a subcommittee
mm-hmm.
at Tremper. We just focused on those schools only, and we brought it back as
and
a
some
whole.
Some of those are students.
Yeah, we've listened to a lot of students, and we've listened to a lot of coaches, and we've listened to a lot of community members.
And
we
this
listened.
Is where I just burst with pride, unlike, I would say, any other community.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting and being driven by students, even in a minor way, which is remarkable. It's great. It's sure. for their use, and maintaining an inclusive focus with them is extremely important to realize.
I think the loudest voices is the students to the coaches, and not necessarily on as much on the committee, but that constant voice of, wow, did you see what this district has? And when we went and visited there, that is fantastic. You see what they get to play on, see what they get to practice on. You have a ton of club activity, sure. ton of that in our youth levels, and we see parents commonly would tell me, how come we don't have this? We play in our club stuff on better stuff, and we don't even have anything here in our community. And I think that has spoken to our advisory committee, and a lot of people would nod their head yes, that we have heard that along the way.
Well, it's laudatory that you would respond, as opposed to, in a lot of cases, nope, we've made our decision, that's it. The adults met behind closed doors, and this is what you're going to live with. See ya.
You know, that's the beauty of a referendum. You know, we put something together, and it is exactly, if the community wants it, they'll vote for it. If they don't want it, they'll vote against it, and we'll really know what this community would like. And the biggest point I want to talk about that is the tax impact.
Uh-huh.
And that's been our big conversation with
and the big selling point.
And the big selling point is our tax impact would be there'd be no increase to taxes as we know it here. In fact, whether this referendum passes or not, our taxing from the Kenosha Unified School District, we would be lowering taxes from Kenosha Unified. We have Mahone and then Absola coming. Their debt retiring. Mm-hmm. And that is considerably more debt that we had than we would be replacing it with.
Uh-huh.
So whether it passes or not, your taxes will go down if this doesn't pass, and your taxes will go down if this does pass, but just not as much.
Sure.
And so I feel it's very responsible by Kenosha Unified giving that to our taxpayers at a time where we can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been a very positive talking point, a very positive response from our community that
sure.
we've done this at a time like this.
So the pros, as you're looking forward, reduced maintenance.
Yes.
Increased use by any number of people and a greater amount of access to different clubs. Certainly an improved, if you want to call it cosmetic or curb appeal.
Well, I think I think that's very, very important, and I don't think we should.
Well, you don't discount that.
Discount that at all, because I think what outdoor athletics are, and Ivan's it's the front porch to your school district.
Sure.
And when people come into town and see that we have very well maintained athletic facilities, it's a reflection directly to that district and to that school.
I think it also is a demonstration of responsible stewardship of resources.
Yes.
And in the final analysis, I believe that's what the people who are supporting the school district and expect out of education-based athletics expect and are going to appreciate.
Yes.
I think the other piece also, as I was thinking about it, the other pro, again, is the increased use and safety, certainly for our students and people using those facilities, to include spectators.
I was just going to say that. You know, there's the safety for not only the students that are on that field, but where we gather as a community when their contests are happening, we're going to have a safe place where people can go enjoy an evening or a daytime and
sure.
watch kids in amateur athletics.
Sure. Well, this is, again, Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 Public Radio in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And today we've been honored to have been able to share some time to discuss the upcoming KUSD Athletic Facilities Referendum with our guest, Steve Kinect, who's the Athletic Director of Kenosha Unified School District in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I know I've learned and shared a great deal about the benefits this important community project entails and the productive progress it represents under his leadership and experience. Until next time, I thank you for listening and look forward to you joining us again on Education Matters, because education matters.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org.
The Indian Trail Hawks basketball team has made it to regionals. Catch the game tonight on WGTD and GatewaySportsWeb.org at 7 p.m. Support comes from Germano's Pizza, quality pizza made from the freshest ingredients and exceptional customer service since 1994. Pixelproof.com, professional sports photography. See exclusive photos of the game and players at Pixelproof.com. And Play It Again Sports, located on 75th Street. Buy, sell, and trade new and used gear.
This is WGTD HD.